Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Welcome to yet another exciting edition of Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host, Double D. I'm going back to Double D, Dan.
I don't know. Triple D's are always better. They're bigger.
I like Double D, so I'm going back to Double D tonight. You can find me at Folsom County. With me, as always, is the loyal, the very gracious, the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Law. How are you tonight, Dan?
Good evening, folks.
We're live.
It's like 3, 2, 1.
Nothing.
Go.
Nothing. But a little behind the curtain there. Now you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Behind the treaded curtain.
We are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com. In fact, we're there right now, Dan.
BradyHicks.com. Hello, fans. Thank you for listening. With our new equipment. We're upgrading here on Hell in the Cell already.
Yeah.
It doesn't take us 4 years to do shit.
Follow the Twitter at HICC Radio and like the Facebook.
Cat and Ahab.
At Cell in a Hell. That's facebook.com/Cell in a Hell.
Which, again, will probably be our name in about a year.
Probably. Cease and desist. Cease and desist.
We're all about that today.
We very well could be. What I'm talking about there, we do have a package from Dewey Burnham and Hal. And we can only open said package the segment with Robert Knight. That will be coming up a little bit later on. But of course, Dan, if I can get us back on the rails.
yeah.
Tonight is all about a French interruption. I still don't know what a French interruption is, but I'm enjoying it.
No, neither does he.
People tell me all the time, you're going to get a French interruption, buddy. And I still don't know what it means. Dan, maybe you can elaborate on what a French interruption is.
I'm not going to elaborate too much, but I really hope it has to do with sex.
I don't know.
You know, you're just sitting there and all of a sudden, bam!
But what a French interruption is to us, Dan, is, of course, it's an ongoing series with none other than Monsieur Ooh-La-La. As we go through his career, part one was about a month and a half ago. So we discussed the beginnings of his career, basically the genesis of his career, Dan.
Thank you.
Yes, and then now we're moving to part two of his career. Not right now, but... after I get done these, letting the people know what's going on today.
Yeah, we are informing. That's what we are. We're a talk show, and we're all about information and correct information.
Perhaps people could say that we are a hotbed.
We're a hotbed of information. All those other shows and wrestling reports that don't really exist are way behind the gun.
Behind the gun, yes, I like that as well. And, of course, for the second time in 2 weeks, we are going to have the reigning ECWA champion, the Greek God Pompadon, will be joining us. Or should I say, we will be interrupting his night as I call him.
Yes, yes. Again, we've talked to him a bunch of times, and when you are a champion of that caliber, you don't call in. We call you.
That's right. So any champions out there, we will be glad to call you if need be.
Just give us your number on air, and we'll have a bunch of other people call you, Sid.
That's true. And also, later on, we're going to have Omega Squad here. A lot of injuries happened this week in the UFC, and he will get us up to speed with all that. And we're
Go ahead. You're into it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we're also going to talk about what happened on Monday Night Raw. Not the wrestling action, per se, but what happened with Jerry the King Lawler at ringside. Our best wishes, of course, go out to Jerry the King Lawler.
Remind me, I have a very astute, very quick point I want to make about that whole thing when we start talking about it later.
Okay, well, we have two different points where we're going to talk about it. One and then another. So, anyway, we're almost there for a French interruption, aren't we?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Now, Dan, do you remember the last French interruption? And, you know, just give the people a little bit what this is exactly.
This is basically, Major Oulala has been in the wrestling business longer than I can count on my hands. And feet, apparently. And basically, this is an introspective of his career from the beginning to the middle to the not quite end yet.
Because, of course, he still goes on. He's
He is the mainstay. And I say, with all the other stuff going on in ECW, he's the mainstay, quite frankly, of that company.
Through the Kettner era, of course, and of course...
Don't say that name!
Now through the Tartaglia, Zanoli, whatever era you want to call it. Yes. Well, you know what? When I say Kettner, our ratings, our listenership doubles. So Kettner.
We said his name! Kettner!
There you go. So...
you got my ratings wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it just happens. Friendships are lost, and...
Did we just rename the show Hell Kettner Shell in the Kettner Cell?
Dan, without further ado, though.
This is going to be a big interruption, and it's going to be French.
Oh, the French interruption. Now we're talking, huh? Ooh la la! Woo!
I'm the champ! Woo! Ooh la la! Now you've been interrupted again, haven't you?
My goodness, Monsieur Ooh la la, welcome.
Spit it out already, would you? I haven't got all night. And Dan, you can't count. We know you're not counting on your good looks either, are you, Bijur, huh?
Never in my life.
You shut your mouth, huh?
Mr. Olala, you sound really excited. Is this because of Saturday night?
Oh, yeah, Saturday night. All the lumberjacks will be there. And I'm sure Mr. Tartaglia will be in there with his little Nikes on, ready to set a record to the dressing room.
I hope he put extra glue on that toupee.
Yes, hot as it was this summer, it was lucky it didn't slide off, huh?
Especially in all those trips to Lake Candle. But, Monsieur Ola...
Well, that was Camp Crystal Lake, I thought.
I'm not sure exactly, but Monsieur Ola, I would like to start out. We left off basically last time. You were at kind of a crossroads. You were only counting on yourself. You made the trip to somewhere in North Jersey. So let's start out there. Where did you go and what happened?
Well, I was told that I might have an opportunity to meet somebody who would further provide training in the wrestling business. And so I drove what seemed like forever out to North Jersey. And it's probably where Mike was, that godforsaken lake he talks about. But it was out in Bricktown or Toothless, New Jersey somewhere. And there's a couple of things I remember. I remember that it was a women's cage match against Wendy Rector, I believe, and Heidi Lee Morgan. And that's where I met Heidi's father, Les Morgan, which was the beginning of my part two.
Okay, so you meet Les Morgan. Now, what happens here?
Well, what happens is I explained to him that I had learned how to bump at the Monster Factory. but I did not know at the time. I did not know truly how to work, and I thought I was ready. So he did invite me to his training facility in Jersey, and what happened then was I entered the building, and on the ground there's these old tires. It's about a, I want to say maybe 10 by 10, like, square area. There's these old tires on the ground. On top of that is half sheets, so they're plywood. I'm not sure how thick it was, with about a one-inch mat and a piece of rug on top. So he says, as best I can, as I can recall, he asked me to take a bump. I take a bump. It hurt. He asked me to take another bump. I did that again. Then some of the gentlemen that were there that day, I believe his name was Ricky Bowers, it must have been about 5 to 10 body slams on top of this old tires with that. And now, and then that was, then the other gentlemen that were there were kind of working too. And he asked to see some lockups and some chain wrestling and what it is that I knew. And he dismissed me and said, well, we'll have practice here tomorrow. I drove home that evening. I got home.
You didn't.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
You all want to interrupt the Frenchman. You just shut your mouth. So I get home. And then
okay.
What? Spit it out. Spit it out.
No, I was just going to ask. I was going to say, so the training at the Monster Factory didn't quite get you up to speed. You fell.
No, I did not know that at the time. Because what happened is once I got home, I woke up the next day. I must have been stiff as a board. I thought rigor mortis had already set in. Okay? I find my way back out to Jersey. I find my way to his house. And, you know, it was all back roads. It was about an hour ride, I believe. So I get back there, and he looked at me. He goes, you came back. You must be serious. I said, but of course I'm serious. And then the rest, that is the beginning of part two. He then took me on as a student. In lieu of payment, he had a stripping and refinishing business, so we had to, well, that's why I've become such a good stripper, but that's what we had to do. We had to strip the furniture, and then we would have our practice. As we moved on and it has progressed there, he found that I could bump, which was something that he had a hard time teaching other gentlemen. But what he didn't have, I did not know how to work, and that's where I had begun to learn the psychology of a match and how to tell the story in the ring, how my face is as important as a backdrop, as a body slam. What I say, sometimes less is actually more. But to tell a story to those who perhaps can't hear you because they're further back, but they can see the look on your face, that is how I learned to tell the story in the ring, whether it be on one end of a beating or giving another. I was able to tell that story, and that's really where I finally got that assured of my foundation for who I am today.
Was there ever a time after you found out that you didn't really learn anything at the Monster Factory and you're going through all this training and taking bumps? Was there ever a time while you're working, you're doing all that training, you're working at the business that you just wanted to, it's like, I'm not coming in tomorrow?
No, there is no quit. It's not. There is no quit. Quitting is left for to tag the area, you know, they're running away. But there is no quitting. I mean, I thought I was going to be in the WWF at the time, and I thought I was going to make my mark. And who would have known that today I'd had this conversation and I must have made some sort of mark. But there is no quit. And then once he found out that I was serious, later as we progressed for the next year to 2 to 3 years, we had actually built a ring in his building. We welded it from the ground up.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay, so now during this time, you're under his wing at this point. What promotions were you working for, or was it just a slow learning process, kind of starting from scratch over again?
it was a lot of starting from scratch because I had to develop who I was and I had to develop like my style. As I grew up watching, I would look at the Fantastics and, you know, there was, you look at the small guys in the ring because I was a lightweight and the men were all just monsters still, and I had to look at the small guys in the ring to see how they what they were doing and try to emulate some of the work that they did. It was the one group I had done some work with was the NWF at the time that had run some shows, and we actually worked on the ring, and that. The one show I did do, I actually wrestled the European champion. The gentleman's name was Artie Palmer. I believe he was from Germany. And, you know, on that card, it was actually the main event was Abdullah the Butcher and Cousin Luke. So, oh, yeah. Well, somebody had a great idea that I was going to go run out there and give Abdullah a big talking to of some sort.
Yeah.
Well, I did. I went in the ring and I got beat like the Tagliari. Yeah, I probably looked like his head of hair. I mean, it was that bad. And then what happened after that? I got in the ring and Abdul gave me that shot right underneath, right in the throat, and I went down like a ton of bricks. He throws me out to the ring, and next thing you know, he's throwing chairs like he's setting up for I don't know what, but next thing you know, here comes a chair crashing right across my back.
Oh,
and down I went again. And that is what they call the hard way.
Was there anybody during this time, we were talking about last time how you were driving Bam Bam around. Was there anybody that basically partnered up with you or took you under your wing in those days?
Pretty much, I had actually done a lot of work with Heidi Lee Morgan. We worked a lot in the ring together, and even Artie Palmer. Artie Palmer was probably the guy that helped a lot because he taught me how to defend myself in the ring. I later learned that, you know, that sometimes things would not go as well as you'd like in the ring, and it would get ugly from time to time. And he taught me what they call how to shoot. So that was one of the significant things. And then, of course, when I was working, I did the show for the NWF, and I learned that what they say and what they do are entirely two different things from start to finish. And then, you know, it was quite the learning experience. But the most valuable part, each part has equal importance. To learn how to bump set the stage for me to learn how to work. Because if I did not have that foundation, I would all the work I do in the ring with the facial expressions and all that would not matter if my work is not where it needed to be.
Now, at this time, were you Mr. Ooh-La-La at this point, or was there other gimmicks that you went through before you finally decided to become?
No, because of being European, they thought they tried a Mickey, an Irish Mickey O'Brien, and I should have been drinking. That's for sure.
So
he was slaughtered than 2 day old soldier that left out, huh?
So when did the transformation take place? Is this during this time or is this later on?
No, the transformation has not taken place yet. You know, I worked for 2 to 3 years with Les and Heidi out in Jersey, trying to get work and getting my name out there, building a resume, still trying to do some refereeing, getting my license in Jersey, because it was you had to have a license to work in the States. You had to have EKGs, EEGs. I mean, it was very regulated of what you had to do, so there was a lot of legwork involved. Getting the pictures ready for my 8x10s that, like, I thought I'd sell a million of them. Good thing I didn't make a million of them. There'd be a lot left today.
So during this time, it's more or less just you're really working at the school of hard knocks, so to say.
Oh, it was the hardest knocks I had taken in some time on that plywood and old tires before we built that ring. But it is, like I said, it was necessary because you see that there's a lot of guys out there who are trying to break into the business, and it is just difficult, and they can't even do the simplest of a task in the ring because they all want to be the superstar. But if you don't get your foundation, there is no superstar. You're a spectator.
Now, how long do you feel that it took you to put all the pieces together, or do you feel even now that there's still more things that you're learning new every day?
You're not done growing. If you're done growing, forget it. If you're not open to trying something new, to doing different things, I still watch TNA, I still watch WWE and watch what some of the guys are doing. There was a time in the 90s, and we'll discuss later, but I was doing a lot of tag team work, and we used a lot of the Hardy Boy finishes, but they, being a little on the bumbling side at the time, they didn't work quite as smoothly as what the Hardy Boys had done.
Right.
In fact, it usually was a pretty big, it would look like the Hindenburg.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, the humanity.
Now, Monsieur Olala, now when did the call from Kettner come? Or am I jumping way too far ahead at this point?
No, because what had happened is during the time with Heidi Lee and Les Morgan, I still had the work and I still had to train, so I was still working out and training. But what happened was at one point, after I had done some ring work with the NWF, they said one thing and did another, and then they asked me to work for them full time as a ring crew guy, and all I could say was no, because I had to tell them. I said, well, I perhaps would have some sort of respect for you had you told me that A, B, C, and D before the match was going to take place, and then you changed it on me. So if you can't be honest and upfront about this at this point, then how could I expect you to be honest and upfront with me setting up your ring? Because there's no confidence in you. And then what had happened then is, again, after about three and a half years, I had taken a break again, because though I had put all that time in to learn how to work, I had gotten limited exposure again. I was at a crossroads of finding a place to work. And again, this was like 87, 80, 89, 90-ish, when the AWA was still trying to make inroads into the Northeast. And they were looking for people. And I know I had sent some information to Minnesota to see if I could be considered for something. But again, the business was just big, big men that were involved in the sport, and a cruiserweight was simply perhaps what they call a dark match now, in the beginning, where there wasn't a whole lot of interest in it. You had more interest in the midgets than you did the lightweights.
Mm. Okay, so did the actual call from Kettner come after this crossroads?
Well, it wasn't even a phone call. Again, I actually ran into a gentleman you probably know as Simon Diamond now.
Oh, okay. Wow, yeah.
Yes, and that happened in 1990, I believe. I had run into him at a local business in the Downingtown Thorndale area of Pennsylvania, where I had been working at the time. And it turns out that I had known him a little bit from some previous schooling that I had had. He was perhaps, I believe he was a year behind me. And a gentleman, God rest his soul, Dale Morrow, said to me, he had heard that, he knew that I had wrestled and was looking to do some more. He said to me, I know this gentleman who is also a wrestler. His name, as we know, Pat, would you like to meet him? I said, but of course. I am a freshman. Oh, wait till they see this, huh? But I go and I met him, and here it is. That is where the ECWA was my introduction. That was the beginning of my career with the ECWA, was that meeting by Dale Morrow and Monsieur Pat at that location in Pennsylvania. That was the beginning. He sent me up with Monsieur Kettner's information, and then I'm sure I kind of sat on it, and then I had to go ahead and pretty much go ahead and give him a call.
Now, how was it working for Kettner? Was he a good guy to work for? Was there any problems at the beginning, or was it pretty much straight ahead? He got you the job, and it was all from there.
Well, no, like anybody else, I had to earn my spot. So what happened is I had called him, and I told him that I had worked at the Monster Factory and that I had worked with Les and Heidi Lee Morgan, and he asked to meet me. So I met him, and he had a facility set up if he were to meet somebody that he could see if they could take the basic bumps, just the same things I had learned at the Monster Factory and that were beaten to me by Les and Heidi Lee on the old plywood. And then he saw, too, that I had the foundation that I needed to become a part of his group.
Okay, now, is this a good place to end part two and to start out part three?
I do believe it is, because this is the beginning of Monsieur Ooh-La-La.
Ooh.
Okay, so I can't wait.
There will be a little bit before, but you'll see, because we were still the drunken Irishmen, you know.
No.
So you started out the ECWA career as the drunken Irishman. Mickey.
No, he wasn't drunken, but let me tell you, it just didn't work out like I thought. But I was Irish Mickey when I first started in. And I will tell you that my first match was against the Cuban Stomper, and that is where we shall end.
Okay. I like where that ends. Now, of course, Saturday, sir, you and Monsieur Cupcake, as you call him, will be taking on Ricky the Model Martinez and the Boss Mike Tartaglia in a Fans Are the Lumberjacks Toss the Boss match. Give me your thoughts heading in. We're just, two or three days away.
Yes, well, here's how it's going to go in. He's going to get thrown out of the ring. He's going to get thrown into the ring. He's going to get thrown out of the ring. He's going to get thrown into the ring. I'm going to throw his hair out of the ring, and they're going to stomp on it, and then they're going to throw him out of the ring, and they'll throw him back in again. That's just how it's going to go. And then Ricky, the model, Ricky Ricardo, he probably better find himself, and he's with Magnum. Oh, dear God, there's a group. But listen, Monsieur Martinez, his class will begin as soon as he begins there, because he, too, will go out to the ring and then be thrown back in the ring and then thrown out of the ring and thrown back into the ring. And then me and Cupcake will just simply we will just simply be the victorious ones.
I can't argue with strategy like that. Now, of course, that is Saturday night, the 15th, in Newark, Delaware. Everybody come out. You have a chance to actually be one of the Lumberjacks.
Of course. Everyone is welcome. Just sign the waiver, and I hope Mike signs the waiver, too, because he may need it.
Ooh la la, I can't wait. We discussed when we're going to do this. We'll talk more off air, but thanks for stopping by and telling us a little bit about your career, and I can't wait for part three of this.
I can't wait either. Ooh la la! And I'm still the champ.
All right, everybody. That was Monsieur Ooh La La, one of the legends in this business. Dan, what'd you think about that?
The fact that I don't believe he was anything but French. I can't believe it. I refuse to believe that.
Apparently, he was an Irishman.
Okay. Let me tell you something. Another Irish wrestler learned absolutely nothing from the Monster Factory.
Yeah. Well, that goes without saying. But anyway, Dan, are you going to sign up for the Toss the Boss?
Oh, I'm signing up.
You're signing the waiver?
Oh,
you're signing up.
I'm signing the waiver. It says if you have no health issues. Is mental? That's not part of it.
Mental defects, yeah.
Mental defect. I have a little mental defect.
Can I throw him in? Anyway.
Faith, Captain Dave.
Dan, stop it. Because I'm trying to get serious here. Of course, Monday night. Of course, Monday night. There was a little bit of reality thrown into the entertainment aspect of the business.
Thrown in is a slight misuse. It kind of just, you know, I don't think they had a choice.
So basically, what happened during a tag team match featuring Kane and Daniel Bryan, Jerry Lawler had a heart attack. At ringside, he was actually clinically dead between 15 and 20 minutes.
Yeah,
he was revived in the back. Everybody's
seven times.
Everybody's saying that this it was a good thing it happened where it did, because otherwise he might have been alone. He might have been on a plane. He might have been driving to the place.
Well, that's what his ex-wife was saying on Twitter or on a recent interview, which we'll get into later, is that he could have been alone and what would have happened.
It could have been an Eddie situation.
The moment that there was no commentary, like, oh, what's going on? Like, it didn't feel normal. Like there's something going on, and they're not showing it on camera, so there's something really going on. It's not like, oh, you know, there's a wrestler getting attacked backstage or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of people are actually complimenting Michael Cole now. You have to separate the character from the person. And Michael Cole, I think, is a great guy. And you could tell how shaken up he was. And just
Oh, my God.
The fact, under pressure, he kept it together.
And I was talking to you off air. And again, I touched this on this quickly because we're going to go on in depth about this later. I have respect for that man. I have a new respect for that man. That man, under pressure...
Well,
it's not the word for it, man. I mean, what was going on to somebody he's been working with for almost 10 years alone by himself?
Yeah.
And he doesn't know what's going on. He's only being told what's being fed to him in his ear.
Yeah.
And the man handled it like, quite frankly, the professional he is. And the fact that what they did, whether it was Michael Cole's call, I doubt it, but the fact what they did with no commentary – was very classy, and it was just handled. Apparently, everything they did was right to get them, because you see, there's video on YouTube that I refuse to watch, but apparently they got him right on a stretcher, they got him out of there, and
yeah,
to the back, and got him and got working on him right as they were getting him to the back.
I watched that that video, and
is it bad or
no? It's not bad. It's from way up in the, you can barely see anything, but it was a very quick response. One point I wanted to make about Michael Cole is, of course, he was a war correspondent before he even thought about WWE. So, I mean, he has a background in dangerous situations and situations like that, and he was the first one to call somebody over, like, this is not normal. Yeah, this is...
Well, apparently he bent over and vomited.
I don't know about the vomiting. I'm not sure about that. I know that he was having trouble, and he put his head down on the table. And that's when Michael Cole said, "This is not good."
Wasn't that caught on camera?
You can see when he actually fell to the ground. Michael Cole hits the mute button, and of course, what happened.
Sure, they have a fail-safe button.
Yeah, they have a mute.
Yeah, all right. Well, I guess they would.
Yeah, of course they do.
We have a mute button. They must have a mute button.
Yeah, if we have one, you know. The technology that they have.
The whole thing was remarkable. I mean, and the first thing you hearken back to, of course, is the Owen Hart thing. I mean, that's the first thing I thought about was, oh, no.
You know, and then people are getting on. Should they have went on with the show? Should they have done SmackDown today? Should they have done this? Should they have done that? But the good news is, getting past all that, today he is awake. He is alert, he is responsive, and he is writing notes to his family members. And he knows where he is, he remembers. He had a CAT scan, everything looks good.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was out for 20 minutes, no brain damage. I mean, that's remarkable on its own. I don't know the time that your brain can go without oxygen.
I thought it was shorter than
I thought that. It was much shorter than that, but the man... I hope he makes it. I've always liked Lawler, I mean, like we discussed last week, and I believe it's your fault, Dean.
I had issues with possibly a WWE Hall of Fame career, but that's neither here nor there now.
No, of course not. No. And it's just my opinion. I think Jerry would have been the first guy to say the show got to go.
Probably.
You know,
probably.
You can't stop the show now. Go on.
Probably. I would agree with that. But we're moving on to other things right now, Dan, because we'll get back into this conversation when Omega Squad joins. And, of course, when Brady Hicks joins, because Brady interviewed Stacy Carter, the ex-wife of Jerry Lawler, and a friend of In the Room, the flagship of the BradyHicks.com. So, but right now we have some fan mail, Dan. Welcome to the show, Robert. You're with Dean. You're with Dan. How are you doing this week?
Doing fantastic as always, guys. How's everything?
It could be better, quite frankly, Robert. I think I'm going to start right off with this. Now, I received a package from the very prestigious law firm, Dewey Burnham and Howe. Okay. And I have a statement that they would like me to read.
You know, I'm quite interested in this because Kit, you know, he gave me a heads up that this was going on, but evidently they sent you the package in some kind of titanium, some kind of titanium cardboard envelope, and Kit couldn't even see through it. So we're wondering what's going on, and we're sure it's some kind of shenanigans that we can clear up, but why don't you go ahead and give me a heads up on what's going on here.
Now, frankly, I'm a little terrified for you. But here we go. Mr. Knight, my client, who wishes not to be named at this time, is a former official for New Moon Rising Wrestling. He chose to leave the company and did this by posting a video on his own private Facebook page where basically no one would see it. That was more than enough respect shown to everyone at New Moon Rising Wrestling in his eyes. We are asking that you cease and desist all future videos in which you make reference to my client, the greatest referee of all time. If you choose to continue, we have no choice but to pursue legal action where justice will be served right down the middle. Yours truly, Bill S. Preston, Esquire of Dewey, Burnham, and Howe. So, Knight Rider, your response to this?
I'm not sure exactly how to take that. I mean, I have an idea of who it could be coming from.
Greatest referee of all time.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, but, you know, at the same time, I don't recall ever giving anybody's name in any video that I ever did. I mean, Ref Bitch was a guy who we caught on camera in his own segment known as the Ref Zone. I didn't name anybody else that was a former official or anything like that. So, I mean, as far as lawsuits go, the Knight Rider's brother is actually in the legal business. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure we can cover ourselves when it comes to that. But, I mean, I guess that makes 2.5 lawsuits that I have now, because I've had one from Universal, one from my cable provider, and now one from this guy who we're not going to mention. So it's 2.5 lawsuits.
2.5 lawsuits.
2.5 seems to be a running commentary with you, sir.
You know, it really does. And yesterday was the 1-year anniversary of the 2.5-hour Battle Royal, 1 year as the New Moon Rising United States champion.
But Mike Reed won it, didn't he? I thought Mike Reed came in after the Battle Royal Open Challenge and somehow... your foot was on the rope, clearly, though.
I mean, it wasn't even a sanctioned match. That was a scrimmage match as far as... He cheated after I wrestled 2.5 hours. He came out in a scrimmage and stole my title for a few months, but we got it back.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not sanctioned, you can't put a title that's sanctioned on the line.
Exactly, and I mean, that goes back to who New Moon Rising Wrestling was working with at the time and whatever was going on in their heads, but...
Oh, I'm no comment there.
I mean, your previous guest is another guy who just we can add to the list. Who, I mean, how many guys are going to say that they didn't learn a damn thing at the Monster Factory? I don't understand what's going on. And the guy's been in the business for 40 years and still not sure that it's a work or not. So I mean,
people would think this is scripted, but like. You worked for the Monster Factory? I didn't learn anything there.
You couldn't write it any better than that. I'm sure somewhere out on Twitter right now, it's being, you know, he's being thought of as, you know, just another legend to come out of the Monster Factory, who they're claiming have had over 30 years of excellent training, and they started in 1983. So, you know, I'm not the greatest when it comes to doing math, but over 30 years, and they started in 1983 doesn't seem accurate to me.
That's only 29.
Yeah.
I only know that because I'm turned 29.
You know, you would think when you have people like Sheamus come out publicly, the world champion for WWE, come out and say, I didn't take anything away. You have D'Lo Brown that didn't learn anything more than a wrist lock.
A wrist lock and a chop, he said he learned that.
That's two things he didn't know before.
Yeah, I guess not.
All right, this is how you do a wrist lock. This is how you do a chop. $100.
That's your bet fees this week. Come on.
Thank you very much. Now, go build the ring.
Now, anything else going on this week, Robert? I think there's actually an announcement you wanted to make, if I'm not mistaken.
There is a big announcement. Now, people have been waiting. They've been hearing me run my mouth for weeks and weeks about New Moon Rising Wrestling and what we're up to, so I got the scoop, and this is going to be announced later tonight and tomorrow on Facebook and on our website, but New Moon Rising Wrestling is opening our doors to the public for the very first time, and this is going to happen on Saturday, October the 6th at 9 a.m. We're going to be having an open tryout. It's open to the public. This is for anybody who wants to be a professional wrestler, a manager, a referee, a valet, a ring announcer. If you want to work in the wrestling business and you think you have what it takes, or if you're willing to learn what it takes, all you have to do is come down to our building. All the information is going to be listed on Facebook and in our website. It's on Delsey Drive. It's on the border of West Deptford and Westville. I think it actually says Deptford if you look it up on us. So we're in the middle of three towns.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna take over the area, but it's at 9 a.m. Saturday, October 6th. Doors are open to the public. Come on out and show us what you got. And it's not going to be an overhyped, you know, tryout where we bring in comedians who have nothing to do with professional wrestling, and we make a nice little video, and we make up T-shirts, and we promise a scholarship, but only for those who pay in full the day of the tryout. This is going to be an actual tryout. You know, we'll talk about how the training at the school and everything works after there, but we're very competitive prices, much less than, you know, overpriced schools that have been in business for over 30 years, and we think it's something the public's going to be into. You get hands-on with, you know, all the stars of New Moon Rising Wrestling there that day. So definitely mark it on your calendars.
Now, will I actually be able to stick a fork in the top of Roughneck's head? Can I do that?
You might have to ask Roughneck that, but you actually got to bring some knee pads because I'm sure he's going to be on the ground somewhere on October 6th.
Oh, man.
Poor Roughneck. Now,
are you going to make a promo video with turning the lights on and off?
You know, I've already done that on one of my fan mail shows, but I think that might work as far as the tryouts, because if that gives you an idea of the technology that we're going to be doing with our internet show, I mean, come on.
By the way,
a light switch?
When you did that, when you looked at the camera and put the thumbs up, I could not stop laughing.
Hey, come on, I mean, what I did was way more entertaining than the video of some goon who can't work a lick, who's standing there, you know, I mean, words can't describe.
Now, this is completely off the cuff, what I'm about to say now. You could, I know you're not going to turn down answering this question, but the 29th is the debut of a certain company. They chose to run against, well, not against, but on the same day as a charity event. Now, when you look at that card.
Is that a card?
Well, when you look at the card, what comes to your mind?
I mean, I haven't seen I saw the video that they put out. I mean, to call themselves a promotion, it just baffles me, because I'm pretty sure they have maybe three guys who were exclusive to their company. The rest are guys that work all over the indie circuit. You have guys who, quite honestly, I'm a little disappointed. The guys that I've known for quite some time who are good friends with Jake that are still working that show, who I'm, you know, I'm still friends with them. It's, but business is business. I guess they can do their thing and go down in flames with them if they want. But they're on the show. And the rest of it are students. It's loaded with students. And if you've seen any of the videos these guys put out, these kids are not, you know, and I shouldn't even be giving them this advice because they think they're, you know, the be-all, end-all of training. But those guys are not ready to be in front of a crowd. I mean, if you've seen that video of that guy Reckless, the guy can't take a bump, he can't feed, he can't sell. And they're going to put him in the ring with another guy who has very little experience that day. So, I mean, they, go ahead and knock yourself out. They're going to run themselves out of business before we even have our first show, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, do you think there's going to be a certain backlash to running against the charity show?
I would think so, but, I mean, at the same time, to be such a great businessman as their guy claims to be, the first thing you're supposed to do before you book a date is to see who else is running and where, and especially to run against a charity show with something that's going on like that. I mean, it's... Obviously, they don't care about other promotions. Or they don't, they're only out, you know, they wanted to get the jump on us and, you know, whatever's going on in their head. So all the power to them, but they'll go down in flames. And, you know, we're looking forward to getting ourselves up. We're not rushing anything. And I think that's where a lot of these guys decided to go with them. You know, I'm not going to name any names, but you see who's working for New Moon and now with those guys, and is it because they couldn't wait an extra month for us to get up and, you know, who knows, but
to be associated
with guys like that, I mean,
now,
you have to be a mark for yourself who wants to work for anybody that has a ring to want to be on that show, as far as I'm concerned.
I was going to say real quick, Dean, hearing all the stories about the caliber of the man, I'm sure he did check who was working that weekend.
You know, he might have.
Anyway, not to harbor on that too much longer, but now on Twitter, there was a little bit of controversy, and you were kind of in the middle of it, Robert.
You know, just to be associated with me, Dean, you got to know it's going to bring controversy.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, what happened was there's somebody writing an interview about crap for talent. And,
I like Crap for Talent, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So there's somebody writing an interview about Crap for Talent, and you asked me very simply, what's his handle? So I sent you the handle. Now the next thing I know, I get a text message from you that says, hey, why did you block me? I think you might have accidentally blocked me. And I'm like, what? I checked my Twitter and I was suspended. For sending one, as Twitter put it, one unsolicited tweet to this individual. What are your thoughts on this whole thing that happened, Robert? Because you were pretty much there for the whole ride.
Yeah, I mean, when I heard you mention the guy that's writing this article, I said, let me get his Twitter name. I was going to send him a tweet myself saying, you know, before you publish this article on... We're not going to name his name because I don't want any more lawsuits against me.
Dick McCrunch.
Yeah, exactly. Before you publish the article on so-and-so, why don't you hear about the thousands of dollars he just ripped his ex-business partner off for, and you get a real expose of a story that you're going to write. So that was what I was going to tweet. Now, for an unsolicited tweet from you to be blocked by this guy, obviously the guy's mindset is in the same – I mean, you see where he's coming from. So I can only imagine what this article is going to say tomorrow when it comes out. But,
is it tomorrow?
Yeah, Kit has informed me it will be tomorrow. So
I can't wait to read this. I'm a fan of fiction, so I can't wait to read this.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a great – it's probably going to be the best fiction story out this year so far.
Yeah, and I mean, if anybody has pet birds at home, they can print this out and line their cages with it after it's printed.
I don't know. I wouldn't even dignify Dick McMunch with a lining of a cage.
I mean, this guy – the article itself, like you said, it's got to be fiction, but, I mean, can you imagine, for somebody to say, it's not even like it was a derogatory statement. You said, this is the guy's Twitter name, and you got suspended for it. So, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. It's not like my account was just set up the day before and had 83 tweets to different people.
Yeah, exactly. You've been on Twitter. Your account's established. And I mean, I saw the guy's picture. I don't know much about him, but I'm sure his office is lined with Chippendales posters too. So,
well,
if the guy wants to interview me, you can find me at @RobertKnight_.
That's right.
Dean gets suspended for just setting a name. We can't get that fake Robert Knight cut off Twitter yet.
Yeah,
it's terrible. That's terrible.
Bull.
I don't know what's going on. I really don't. And for a hero like me, for a guy that does so much good for so many people,
ugh,
I can't even get my Twitter name straight.
Oh, man.
So, Robert, it's been another controversial episode, of course.
What's the best part?
I guess we can't talk about Ref Bitch anymore. I'm a little sad about that.
I'm gonna talk about him all I want because I don't care.
I don't know if he's just supposedly threatening legal action. What am I going to do? I mean, there's a new fan mail coming out tomorrow, so maybe I'll just have to address it then.
It's not defamation if it's true.
Exactly.
Dean and I are experts on that, by the way.
There was some controversy on the other show. Let's just say that.
Awesome!
Yeah, I still have that audio, so maybe one day.
Please, I would love to hear it again.
Maybe one day we'll make that public.
Robert would love to hear that.
it was a fun time. It's a long segment, though. It's about a 15-minute segment. But, Robert, where can the people find you and New Moon Rising Wrestling?
New Moon Rising Wrestling is on Facebook. We have a group page and we have a fan page. Also at nmrwrestling.com. You can catch me on Twitter at @RobertKnight_ and YouTube at @RobertKnightRider. And please mark October 6th on your calendars. Anybody who wants to be involved in the wrestling business, you're welcome. You're going to have an opportunity, like I said, to get in any way, shape, or form. And it's a group of great people. And our training is not going to be wannabe tough guys doing a drill instructor gimmick and thinking that's the way to do it. We're going to teach you, you know, the proper way, and we're going to do it and make you proud to be a part of our company.
Robert, as always, it's been a pleasure. I can't wait until next week because who knows what will happen.
We'll see. 7 days is a long time. I'm sure there'll be plenty to talk about next week.
Well, apparently the article will be out, so maybe we can go through some excerpts.
I'm sure we could do an episode on that like tomorrow for like 4 hours.
We can have Robert Knight's Article of the Month Club next week.
But articles about Dick McMunch.
But Robert, we'll talk next week.
Sounds good. One man can make a difference.
Yes.
All right. So everyone, that was Robert Knight. He's my hero and everyone else's hero, quite frankly. Quite frankly. Dan, I'm flabbergasted.
Shit, I just called in. Say, stop talking about me.
And you know what time it is, Dan.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment? Well, I suggest you check out the Dream Wars Horror Camp. Isn't that right, baby?
You're gonna make a good show tonight. That's your tough luck.
That's the best part of the commercial.
It's all about team spirit.
Sherry
Not
Manzani.
Only are we gonna give you an entertaining show, but I'll tell you what I'm gonna do.
I'm gonna give you to the count of 10 to get your ugly, yellow, no good keister off my property.
Not a horror movie.
Before I pump your guts full of lead.
Yeah, that is more of a family movie.
That's John Hughes. What are you wearing tonight?
Well, on a serious note, Dan, we will be teaming up with them.
Yeah. I will only do the podcast if he talks like that the whole time. I want to do Walking Dead's the greatest show ever.
Yes, we're going to team up. It's the Walking Dead Season 3 preview, and that will be on October 12th at 11 p.m.
It'll be late, so I'll miss my job the next morning, but that's okay.
Oh, crap. I didn't even...
You didn't even ask. You don't care. You don't care.
I just do what the
boss tells me, because I don't want anything tweeted about me.
You never know, Dan. I just might. I have those Twitter rants.
That Dan is a son of a bitch.
I'm a Heyman guy.
By the way, I loved the look on his face last week when they drove by John Cena. He's just sort of like, oh, dude, you all right? I'm just going to drive past you, all right?
Oh, my goodness. Dan, I'm going to play the bumper right now because that's what I
get in the cell. Call in at 718-664-9133. Again, that is 718-664-9133.
Are you bored?
Now, I believe that Omega Squad is with us. Omega!
I am here.
All right, and you're on time. Look at the time.
I tell you, 2 weeks in a row, I can get used to this.
Look, don't get used to it.
Look at the time. Look at the outline. Look at the time. You're on time.
Outline. We followed the outline to the T. I'm proud of you.
I got there, man.
We've tried to go without an outline. It becomes a problem.
Yeah, we did. We did do one unoutlined show. That was a train wreck. Now, Omega, a lot of injuries. UFC.
So it's another week in UFC then.
Yeah. The biggest name, I guess, would be Jose Aldo.
Jose Aldo, yeah. Some kind of foot injury. I guess it's related to this motorcycle accident he was in or something. Minor traffic accident.
Ben Roethlisberger.
What? I heard nothing about that. Why is he hanging? He's hanging out with Ben Russell. What?
No, because he's in a motorcycle accident. Try to follow me, Dean.
Yeah. I have no idea. Go ahead, explain it. I'm completely in the dark. I just know he's out. I don't know why.
Well, there was some kind of foot injury. He got in some kind of a minor motorcycle thing. A few weeks ago, and I guess he was gonna be fine, or supposedly, but now he's apparently not fine. So, whatever. I don't know. It's yet another injury.
So that was UFC 153, right?
153. Now,
main event, or was that the co-main?
That was the main event. Yes. Now, this was just announced in the last hour.
Oh, breaking news!
We need a breaking news bump.
Breaking news.
Are you bored? We have breaking news.
The main event for 153 has been replaced. Edgar is out because he doesn't have an opponent. Replacing it is Anderson Silva moving up to 205 to face Stephen Bonner.
What? Wait, say that again. I please.
Anderson Silva will be moving up to 205 for this one fight to take on Stephen Bonner.
Oh, now, why? Does he just want to embarrass another Ultimate Fighter finalist? Is that what's going on?
Well, I think he's just coming in on short notice, but it's Rio. It's a Rio de Janeiro
card. Oh, I got
you.
So this is the new main event then?
Yeah, this is the new main event.
Wow. So, that's huge.
You got to think that's a fairly decent replacement. You know, Stephen Bonner is going to come and try to bang. So
whoa. Yeah, and he's hard to knock out. He's hard to get.
Are we talking about UFC or something else, man?
Dan, and my goodness, I mean, the guy can fight. He took the best from Forrest Griffin. He took the best from John Jones.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
This is exciting.
I think it's an intriguing fight. Do I think Bonner's got a chance? He's got as much chance as anybody, but I still think Anderson Silva wins this fight. I mean, my concern is it's going to be another embarrassment, like he did to Forrest Griffin.
Well, let's say hypothetical. Yes, I said it wrong to make a point. Hypothetical. I'm sorry, I can't go. What if Bonner wins that fight? He won't, but what if he does?
I don't know. I mean, what do you do? You probably try to put him up against Jones again. Honestly.
Wow.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. That's a big if. I don't know.
It's a huge if, but you never know. This is UFC, my friend.
It is. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Bonner's so far away from a title shot right now, I just don't see it. He hasn't fought since November of last
year.
Well,
he dominated that fight. I think he won, 30-26 on one judge's card?
Yeah, he did pretty good. He's on a 4-fight winning streak, I think.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing really well. He hasn't really been in there against world-class talent, mind you, but he's still done very well.
Yeah, he fought with Kyle Kingsbury, and he fought. It's his third fight in a row he's won. Won eight of his 14 fights in the UFC.
That's pretty good.
I mean, if you're going to replace a main event, you might as well replace it with Anderson Silva. And hey, why don't you throw him a guy who's, you know, he's going to actually try to fight him?
That's true. It won't be a Yushin Okami out there, very tentative.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I think it's going to. It's good for Bonner. I think Bonner. It does more for Bonner than it does for Silva.
Sure. Sure. A fight against a world class athlete.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, and he gets his name back in on a main event of a pay per view, much less. So I mean, that's gotta be good for him. I think it's a reward for Stefan, and it's, I mean, Anderson gets on a Brazil card, which is, I think it's good for both guys.
Now, of course, another injury was Rampage quitting Rampage Jackson.
Yes.
Same card, am I right?
Same card. He was supposed to fight Glover Teixeira. That one fell through as well. I don't know what the deal is with Rampage, but he's just.
Didn't he just give an interview not too long ago that he wanted to get into boxing?
He said he wanted to do something other than MMA. He was bored with MMA. MMA was boring. People wrestle too much.
By all means, join a sport that's more rigged.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's kind of the way I took it as well. It seems kind of silly to me. I don't know. You know, I think Rampage is his body's breaking down at this point, and I don't know. I mean, it may just be time for him to hang it up in my view. But if he wants to go to boxing, let him do it. That's fine. If he wants to go do something else, go make A-Team 2 or something, that's fine too.
I think a lot of these guys that were in Pride, though, like you said, their bodies at this point had just been through so much, with the exception of Dan Henderson, who's had just a long career, probably because he trained as a wrestler, so his conditioning was just better. All these guys that were involved with Pride FC just really aren't the same fighter they were.
Yeah, I mean, those guys fought pretty brutally, and a lot of those guys, you think about Vanderlei Silva, you think about the Nogueira brothers, just fought a lot. And they've just done them. They've just been through some wars, and it's pretty much, you know, they're just broken down at this point. It's not a slight on them. It's just what happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and they're, of course, 10 years older than they were in their prime in Pride, so point taken there. Now, there was another injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. Who was it? The janitor, Vladimir Matsushenko, was injured. Tore his Achilles.
Ooh.
Is what I'm hearing. That's bad.
That'll hurt, man.
At his age, that's going to be tough to come back from.
I have a question. Is tearing your Achilles the same or worse or not as bad as rupturing?
I don't think either is good.
I want an answer. I expect medical training here.
I was about to ask that. Well, let me get my expert, Dr. Felix Grover on the line.
I don't know what's worse, but I would think a tear would probably be worse. But maybe that's just because tear sounds worse than rupture. I don't know. And it not really doesn't have any medical.
I just want to be
validity. Yeah.
So of course, a lot going on. Dana White said he has to fix all this. So we have a couple months? Just about a month, right?
Yeah, just about a month. They did announce to replace Rampage. They've replaced him with Fabio Maldonado, who's on a 2-fight losing streak. But he's got a crowd pleasing style, so that should be okay.
Okay.
But you know, he's not Rampage. He's not a name like Rampage. So
I have a question, a more legit question this time.
Okay.
Do they not have enough contracted guys to back up something like this happening? You guys are saying this is bad. I mean, how is it really that bad for business, or is this is just no problem?
Well, my opinion is you have a main event and a co-main event on the same pay-per-view, just go like that. Now, and then you have the other thing where these guys are training specifically, sparring specifically for an opponent. So it's very difficult to get out of that mindset.
Yeah, that's it too. I mean, I think there's the other thing about this is a pay per view, and you can't just if you want people to shell out $50 to watch it, Jesus, you can't just throw Joe Schmo up against Joe Schmo and hope it sells. You do need some kind of name value, and that was what ultimately killed 151 was the lack of name value.
And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where the fact they have so many events now and everything's so spread out, you know, you have the Fuel fights, you have FX, you have Fox, they're all free, and then you have the pay-per-views on top of that. It's really saturating their own talent pool.
Yeah. If this was a free card on TV, if it was an FX or a Fuel card, no problem. They'll just find somebody else to
right.
bring in. You can pick someone off the regional circuit, for example, and
right.
fill in.
Right.
But for the main event of a pay-per-view or the co-main event of a pay-per-view, you really kind of need someone who's at least established.
For the record, I would pay to fight to see Joe Schmo fight.
I you know, after years of hearing about Joe Schmo, I'm going to see what he's made of.
I'm going to see what he's about, man.
Now, Dan, this is your least favorite call ever. It's that time, Dan, to call in the reigning.
Oh, I love this guy.
The reigning ECWA champion. Omega Squad, of course, stick around. If you have a question, go ahead and let us know. And, Dan, here we go. One, two.
Yeah, I'll just fill the dead air while you dial the phone.
Well, it's dialing now, Dan. No pressure.
No pressure. God, if we ever get him in the middle of something.
We did get him in the middle of groceries once, Dan.
Hello?
Hi, is this the Greek god Papadon?
Yes, it is. Is this Triple D or Double
yes.
D today?
Double D today, my friend.
Gotcha.
Okay, how you doing, Papadon? You're with Dean, Dan, and Omega Squad this week.
Oh, Omega Squad? Who the hell's Omega Squad?
I was wondering myself.
Yeah, yeah. So, you're...
Some guy.
any relations to Captain Planet?
I thought you were going to say Captain Dave, but you're not aware of Captain Dave. But yeah.
Voltron's my second cousin, so.
Gotcha.
Now, we are very close now, Papadon. We've talked a lot. We talked last week, but we're very close, of course, to... Now, the way I look at it, this is Chris Wilde's biggest match of his career. For you, it's another night at the office, I would imagine. Care to comment on that?
Well, I agree with you. It is the biggest night of Chris Wilde's career. I mean, one... The guy who gave him the greatest match of his career last July, he's stepping in the ring. He's having the honor of stepping in my ring, trying to do battle with the greatest unsigned talent today, which is obviously myself, the Greek god, Papadon. But more importantly, I'm not just taking this as just another match, because this isn't going to be a match. This is going to be a fight. There's not, you're not going to see no wrist locks technical wrestling or any chain wrestling. What you're going to see is quote unquote a pure sixer. And you know what? It is cliche and a little Frodo Baggins Brady Hicks like to say, I like to be cliche. Well, I'll be cliche. You're going to get a pure sixer. So that's what you're going to get.
Now, I do have a question about Brady Hicks before we get further into this matchup. Brady
Hicks.
He does
have a flash nightlight in his room. At least that's what Cole Calloway told me.
Now, what I was going to say is last week, he said you no-showed your own show, and he went with the Rocker Radio with Chris Wilde. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know what? Hey, I mean, if that's what he wants to do, that's what Brady Hicks wants to do. If he doesn't want to get listeners on the radio, he'll put Chris Boring Wild on. I mean, let's face it. You know, I heard about it a couple of days after when Chico gave me a call. He was blowing a gasket saying, oh, I can't believe this guy, Chris Wilde, what he said. What are you talking about? This guy can't say anything. You ever see his promos? They don't mean anything. He's horrible at promos. He goes, no, no, he went on the radio. He spoke with Brady Hicks. He took over your show. I said, what? My show? The show I didn't show up the other night? He decided to use the B player instead of the A prime player? All right, no problem. So I listened to it. Whatever. It is what it is. He tried to sound tough on the radio, calling Chico Mark, saying he doesn't want to use inside terms, yet he's using it himself, saying Blackheart Angle when he doesn't want to use inside terms. So basically, he's a hypocrite. He likes to contradict himself on what he says and how he likes to come down on people. But let's face it, not many men, very far and few in between, can do verbal battle with the greatest inside talent today. So he's just another pawn on my chessboard.
Now, is he physically in danger coming this Saturday, or is it just not even on your radar at this point?
Well, let me ask you something. Do you think he's physically in danger?
Personally, from experience, yeah.
All right, so you just answered your own question. He's as much danger as you in an all-eat buffet, so don't worry about it. He's going to catch his beating. I'm going to break his jaw.
Wait, is this Chris we're talking about or Brady?
Both. Oh, yeah. Well, good question. Well, yeah, because you know what? Brady's going to get smacked up too when I see him, the little Frodo bagging looking punk. I'm going to teach him he shouldn't bite the hand that feeds him. You know, people listen to the show and he's getting, you know, hits or whatever they call listeners. And, you know, people are actually talking about my show. Well, you know what? Let him go cry a river somewhere else about the PWI to somebody else. You know, in between shows, then next time. Let him and Chris Wilde do their little rock show, you know, with their corny intro and that nonsense. Please, that was so outdated. It was horrible.
Mm.
Anyhow.
So that's your critique after listening to it, or did you listen to it, or were you that offended?
I was not. Listen, he's already crossed the line where he's pissed me off. So whatever he says now, it's like Charlie Brown's teacher. It's just wah, 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 wah. I'm already seeing red. So whatever the case may be, it doesn't matter what he says. It's going to matter what's he going to do, you know, on the 15th. And that's when I'm going to hit him. He's going to fall. And then afterwards, when he's in the ICU and he's eating his meals through a straw, he'll be crying about it, like a little girl, like Kakoa, you know, for the next 20 years that he couldn't get the job done. But, you know, but as far as the show goes and stuff, I give him an A for effort. You know, I mean, it was a little outdated, and he tried to sound all big and tough, and that, you know, he's not scared of me. I know he's not scared of me. I'm not a scary guy, am I, Dan?
Yes.
All right, well, you're a punk, so it doesn't matter. But aside from that, fell, I wasn't trying to scare him. I'm not the boogeyman. You know what I'm saying? I'm not freaking Freddy Krueger. I'm the Greek god. And you know what? I wrestled him last time. Now I'm just going to outfight him and pop him in the jaw, and I'm going to take his little title and add it to my trophy room. And you know what? Sunday will just be another day afterwards, and I'll feel redemption because, you know, I have to put him in his place for committing the 11th, breaking the 11th commandment, and that's pissing off the Greek gods. Thou shalt not piss off Papa Don.
So what it sounds to me is that you are the master tactician. You've already had this mapped out in your mind, and you're just ready to take care of business. I mean, it's already been visualized in your mind. Now all you have to do is get the job done in the ring.
Thank you, Captain Obvious. Mm-hmm. I appreciate. What would you get in your SATs? Did you take the SATs, or did you like cut school that day, smoke a pound of weed, and saw Star Wars for the 99th time? I mean, what happened?
It was an ounce of weed. And,
it was the 100th time.
And the SATs were not required to get in the school of my choosing. If you must know.
what beautician school did you go to?
No, I went to a community college for a couple years. I was on the 3-year plan at community college. And then I went to UNLV after that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
You graduated from UNLV?
Well, we run into anyway, Papa Don, getting on to other things here. So Broken Jaws and Broken Dreams are in the future for both Brady Hicks and Chris Wilde. I thought that was good, by the way. Master tactician. Anyway, Papadon, please, comment. Please.
Comment on what? You haven't asked me anything. You're just laughing over there like a little schoolgirl over there. You know, you're giggling like a little schoolgirl. Say something and I'll answer. What do you want me to say?
Stan, take it away. I've lost control. I'm handing off to my co-host.
Okay, I'm gonna ask. Well, please don't hit me. What happens if you do not fulfill what you've spoken? Which, if you do not win, is it just another day? Do you start over? What happens?
You're talking about if that one, that 0.00000001% of marginal error occurs and Chris Wilde happens to beat me and take my ECWA strap, what will happen?
That is correct, sir.
I don't know, because I'm not going to lose, so I can't think like that. I can't put any doubt in my mind about that 0.00000001% that something may occur, you know, because if I do, then that gives him a window of an opportunity, a gleam of hope for him to actually get the job done. If I go in there with my blinders on and, you know, just do what I do best, and that's entertain and wrestle, there's no stopping me. Obviously, what is it, like 560 million days I've been champion now? I have the longest reign in professional wrestling today, longer than CM Punk. I mean, granted, he's on a national level, and people say, you can't compare WWE to an independent company. Well, I just did, so blow me. What are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is, you know, I have the longest reign going right now. I'm the greatest ECWA champion of all time. Those four letters has relevancy again because of me and nobody else. People come to my show buying my T-shirt, my 8x10s, you know. They're not buying Chris Wilde's T-shirt and his 8x10s. I mean, you see his 8x10s. He took a picture with the belt around his waist trying to make himself look naked with the belt. Come on, he's talking about me being a fruitcake with Chico. Please. The guy looks like a generic wrestler made from a creator wrestler mode. Get out of here, guy.
I always thought Breaker Morant looked like a creative wrestler.
You're entitled to your own opinion. I mean, the guy wears, what, camos and a T-shirt. Whatever.
That's all I'm saying.
I believe that's default creative wrestler number 52.
Anyway, Papadon, of course, you have a huge month of October coming up as well. One of these matches is against a former ECW standout, Tony Mamaluke. He's been everywhere. So what are your thoughts going into that match against Mamaluke?
I'm excited. Mamaluke and I are friends outside of the ring, you know. I respect the guy tremendously. He's been all over the world. He's done it all. And he's wrestled for every company. And unfortunately, I believe he's one of the most underrated guys in the business. And I feel that, you know, even though he has many years and experience underneath his belt, I personally feel he hasn't hit his peak yet or his prime. And that being the fact that he is a wrestler and, you know, he doesn't play wrestling, the guy's a student of the game, he's very dangerous. So, you know, I'm actually looking forward to the competition, and I'm looking forward to the match because I know we're going to steal the show like I do every month in and month out. And it's going to be a great match. It's going to be up there with the Tony Nese and the Adam Cole matches, I mean, and then John Silver matches. It's going to be, you know, it's probably going to be one of my favorite matches. I've been wanting to get in the ring with them for quite some time, to be honest with you.
That sounds great. Now, Papadon, I do have, we were talking about him earlier, I do have Brady Hicks. Now, you two haven't spoken in quite some time. Would you like to talk to him, maybe get this thing settled?
Sure, put him on the line. Why not?
Okay, so here is, of course, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and podcast extraordinaire, Brady Hicks. How are you doing tonight, Brady?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing, Dean? How you doing, Papadon?
Hey, Brady, how are you? You punk?
I believe that was Papadon's response.
Okay.
Now, you guys have a bit of a beef going. There were some technical difficulties on the Papadon show, of course, on thebradyhicks.com. Papadon took that as a kind of a, you know, an insult to himself. So, Brady, do you have an apology to offer, or do you have anything to offer to Papa. He's quite upset, quite frankly.
I feel bad that the Greek god is upset, but, I mean, I called Comcast and they came out and fixed the wires. There really wasn't a whole lot else I could have done. I mean, I'm recording shows six nights a week, and just the fact that it didn't work for Papa Don, I mean, it just was a random chance. There was no way I could have known.
Comcast fixed something?
They did, actually. Amazingly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Papa Don, what do you got to say about that?
Oh, Brady. I don't care if you called Comcast. I don't care if you called Time Warner. I don't care if you called Optimum Fire. I don't care who you called. You could have called your mama for all I care. I don't care. Fact of the matter is we had a deal. We were going to take my show and all these internet radio shows to the next level, and we were going to take everything, obviously, to a level that no one's reached before, because you were supposed to be handling the tech side. I was supposed to be the talent of the show, which I am. I mean, you come on the show and you're boring me half to death. I mean, I'm pretty sure half of the viewers, you know, that listen to the Double D, you know, they both hung up. So, you know, what are you going to do now? So aside from the fact, you know, you come on there and you do Bush League tactics. I mean, I don't know what kind of operating system. You probably still have dial-up internet over there. I don't know, dude. Fact of the matter is, you pissed me off then. You pissed me off by making a couple of jokes and playing a little ha-ha with Bobby Fish on the fish tank. And then you go with your buddy Chris. When did you and Chris Wall start hanging out? When did this happen? When they started legalizing gay marriage? I mean, I don't understand. You guys are buddies now? I mean, who's
your running joke now? Whenever you don't know what to say, it's like you accuse somebody of being gay.
Who's the pitcher? Who's the catcher? I'm not accusing. I'm just asking a question. You're the one who's getting all defensive here.
Yeah, it's okay to be gay, Brady.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. I didn't say there was anything wrong with it. You're the one who's approaching it to a negative light.
I'll never actually be a Giants fan, so you don't have to worry about it, okay? You know what? I mean, I don't want to take it here. I don't want to get ugly. All I'm trying to say is that last week I thought we were going to do a show. You didn't show up. So I had Chris Wilde on the show. We plugged your match. Isn't that the point in the show? We talked about September 15th.
Fair point.
Oh, it is a fair point. You talked about September 15th, and you know what? Touche. But at the same token, you know, you called me a friend. I called you a friend. You know, we associated with each other on a different level than just being associates. We were friends. This guy takes shots at me. You don't even stick up for me. What kind of guy? I don't know how you guys do it in Philly, but in New York, someone, this is your boy or your buddy or your friend or your homie. You know what? You stand up and you defend that guy. So you get this guy on the network, on your show, and he starts trying to slander me and talk trash and saying that I've never wrestled anybody who had a beef with. It's only been physical matchup. Come on, man, please. Guy's boring. He's like that guy from Dry Eye, you know, the guy with the glasses, Bueller. Same dude with Phil Stein or whatever his name is. Ben Stein, whatever his name is. Whatever the Jew's name is, whatever. Bottom line is, you know what, bro?
Wow.
you cross the line and you pick the road to walk down. And now when I see you Saturday at ECWA, you better hope I don't see you, because when I do see you, I'm going to smack the hell out of you.
Brady,
so,
leave
it at that.
Brady?
I mean, Papa Don, I don't know what you want me to say. You know, I'm not a wrestler. I'm not
a technical guy.
Like you said, I handle the technical side of the show. No, I'm the host. I mean, I introduce you. I let you talk about your career. I'm not a Comcast technician. I mean, I don't feel like
don't
the fact
either.
That the phone line dropped out a couple times, one show back in early August, that means that 6 weeks later we should still be dwelling on that fact. I mean, I've done a lot of
I'm not
shows
dwelling on that fact. Listen, this is where everyone's getting it misconstrued. Everyone's getting this misconstrued. Listen, it started with that. Actually, it started with you and Fish doing the ha-ha on Fish's show. Then it culminated to your little, you know, technical problems. And you know what? You are the tech guy, because it's your computer, it's your technology stuff in your apartment that's hosting the show. It's not my computer. You know, it's not my stuff in my house.
I'm not tech savvy. I don't even think I can pull off a podcast, to be honest with you. So aside from that fact, it is your responsibility. I mean, how many times you watch Raw or Impact? And, okay, bad example. How many times you watch Raw and it drops out? Never. Never.
But if it does, is that Michael Cole's fault?
Yeah. No, it's not Michael Cole's fault. But you know whose fault it is? The production guys in the back. And since you're the producer of the show, it is your fault. But you know what? Regardless of the fact, you know, the reason why we haven't had a Papadon show and the three or four listeners that do listen to my corny show anyway, they might be upset. The fact is, we haven't done the show for, what is it, 6 weeks, you said? Not because I didn't want to do a show. Maybe 1 or 2 weeks I was pissed at you. But then you send me a text, I can't do it. I got something to do tonight. Can we do it next week? And then, oh, I forgot I have something else to do. Can we do it? So it's not only me. I mean, obviously, this isn't a priority to you. So, you know what? You give me a spiel how you want to do this because we have good chemistry on, you know, on air, which we did. And then you don't take it serious. Your stuff starts to crap out. It's more boring than a freaking Damian Dragon speech promo that he likes to do, True Believers. Anyhow, but aside from that, I mean, hey, shut up, Dan. Anyway, aside from that, you know, now you're coming on here and you're trying to defend it like I'm the bad guy. You're the guy who messed up. I didn't mess up. And you know what? I want to give you a taste of your own medicine. I didn't show up on my own show. Just like you didn't come through on the show with the technical problems. How does it feel? Well, what did you do? You went and you cried a river to your little boy toy, Chris Wilder, and you guys put on the most boring show in the history of boring shows. I mean, I'd rather listen to Dan Law tell me corny jokes for 3 hours than watch you guys freaking do a show.
God, don't say that. Please don't say that.
Hey, F you, Brady.
Here's, okay, Papa Don, this is the first time you're coming at me with a lot of this, so let me just address some of what you said. Now, I'm hoping that we can get to a point of resolution here, even if you think you're going to attack me on Saturday or whatever. I mean, I mean, okay, the summer months are very busy for me, man. As they are for you. I mean, we had a few NYWC shows in there as well. So it wasn't entirely just me, man. It's just an issue of just Thursday nights for the last month or so just generally haven't worked. And in fact, it's not even going to work tomorrow with the Conclave guests coming in. So, again, I'll take fault for that. I'll take full responsibility, whatever. But I am committed to the Papa Don show. I enjoy doing it. Believe it or not, even though you rag on me the whole time that we're on the air, I do enjoy doing it. It's something polished for my resume, and I firmly believe, in spite of everything that you said about me, I do believe that you're going to get signed by WWE. I have a very strong conviction about that, and I think it's going to make me look all the better that I actually did a show with you before you got signed. So there you go. I'm throwing something nice your way here. I'm extending that olive branch, Papa Don. I'm sorry that you're gonna like.
Well, I'm the only Greek that doesn't like. Listen, I'm the only Greek that doesn't like olives. So tough shit. How about that? when I see you Saturday, because you know you decide to go into left field, and when my back's turned, I got to hear from a third party that you're cracking jokes and making fun of me with both Bobby Fish and Chris Wilde. You know what? It's all right. Say what you got to say. And for every action, there's a reaction. For your sins, there will be consequences. It's that simple. I'll smack you up a little, and that's it. I mean, I smacked up Dan Law. Do you see him, you know, backpedaling and crying and trying to kiss my ass so he doesn't get smacked? No. When I see you Saturday, I'm smacking you up. Plain and simple. Take it as a threat. Take it as a promise. I don't care what you take it. Either way, you're going to get my hand right across your face, bang.
And then we can move on, right?
We'll see.
Okay.
Depends how much money you have in your pocket that night.
That's a fair enough question. Brady, just hang
Brady,
on there.
Brady, I will say that if you kiss his foot, maybe.
You never know. But Brady, just hang on there because I want to get back to you after when we go into overtime. So just hang out. And Papa Don, I want to wrap things up with you. Thanks for talking to Brady there. Not that anything came of it, per se. But
I was entertained.
We have this big show, of course. just tell the people what they're going to see come Saturday.
45 years. That's a milestone within itself. I don't know any other company that's 45 years old. I mean, you have the NWA, which is a large embodiment of pro wrestling. And hopefully once I win the TWA title, we can do a title-for-title match with the NWA champion down the road and really get some, you know, history going. But 60-something years with the NWA, that's not a promotion. That's like a group of promotions. WWE's been around, obviously, a long time as well under different names, WWWF, WWF, Capital Wrestling, whatever it started as, and obviously WWE. But 45 years that people have been entertained in Delaware and on the independent scene through great wrestling in the ECWA. You know, it started with Jim Kettner, and now it's being passed down to Joe Zanoli and Mike Tartaglia, two other, you know, buffoons who disrespected me, you know, come in this past show, War Games, by not putting me in the main event. But you know what? What the fans are expecting to see is a great night of action and wrestling. And in the main event, obviously that spot's reserved for me. You're going to see one gruesome, barbaric, brutal fight between Chris, my promos suck, and I'll never be as great as Papa Don Wild, and the greatest unsigned talent today, the greatest ECWA champion and future TWA champion, the Greek god Papa Don. And to add a cherry on top of this Sunday, I will be having a new shirt for sale. So all you peasants, commoners, bottom feeders, wrestling fans, even you, Dan Law, I'll get a 5X for your fat ass.
Thank you.
Come by. You're welcome. Come buy the shirt. Come support the independent wrestlers. You know what? And obviously, have a great time, because I guarantee you, this is going to be the last time the ECWA is going to make you guys fans all over again, because come the 16th, when I have both titles and all the power, my reign of terror will begin, and the ECWA will never, ever be the same again.
I couldn't have said it better. Papa Don, thank you for taking time out to talk to us about this very important match coming up this Saturday. And I'll talk to you then, and we're going to talk again, I'm sure.
Sure. I'll give you that little workout regimen you asked before, too, at the day of the show. There's
cool.
Too much to write down. I was being lazy, so sorry.
Cool. I look forward to that as well.
All right. Dan Law?
Yes,
make sure you bring your, you know, make sure you bring enough money to buy some shirts, and make sure you pay for those 10 seats.
Yes, sir.
All right.
It's 11.
Omega Squad, go transform into yourself and talk to you later if you're even there.
I'm here. I will do so.
All right.
Sir.
Take it deep. Stroke it easy.
Oh, I always do, sir. So,
oh, my.
Talk to you Saturday.
Adios.
I'm taking that one.
Okay. I'm going to play out his music. Brady Hicks will be joining us for a Jerry Lawler update, and we'll be right back. Big show coming up on Saturday, of course, headlined by our guest, Papa Don, and the heart killer, Chris Wild. Dan and I will be there. We're going to go over the card after we get done this. Brady, welcome back.
What's going on, guys? Thanks for ambushing me like that.
You know, I figured. I sent you the text, and I said, hey, you know, you can call in anytime. And because I had Papa Don on, and you guys have what seems like some legitimate heat.
It's like one of those guest intervention shows on MTV, you know, or like a surprise birthday party where everybody hates you. Thank you,
Brady Hicks. Greek god Papa Don, this is your life.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we're thinking of trying to turn this into an episode of Maury.
Oh man. I don't know if I should be bringing I don't know if I need to be thinking about security for Saturday or if I need to just be like just thinking about not coming. I don't know. I mean,
it's not pleasant, right?
You
know, take it like a man, bro. It'll be quick. Either he'll stop or he'll just be knocked out. It'll be quick.
You know what I did? I was in a very uncomfortable position during the Evolve show, Evolve 17 in Voorhees, New Jersey this past weekend. I had the American Roughneck as backup. So, you never know.
That wasn't uncomfortable. There was no threat to you whatsoever. Are you kidding me?
What, an old man and a captain? I don't know. But,
you know what?
First of all, I can't put words together.
Let me just say, it's times like this that I do feel like I have to turn inward in a way, and I have to reflect on everything that I've done in wrestling so far. And I have taken a Singapore cane shot. It wasn't pleasant. I got hit in the chair. I got hit in the back with a chair by Stacey Carter. And Demolition pounded the crap out of me. So I guess...
I understand that. Now, Brady, you're here last night on In the Room, of course, the flagship of the BradyHicks.com. You interviewed Stacey Carter, and it made the front page of the Wrestling Observer, a very big dirt sheet out there. So, first, what is the latest that you know of? What did Stacey Carter tell you last night? As far as Jerry Lawler, the Jerry Lawler situation.
Well, you know, Dean, the classic phrase is, what a difference a day makes.
Yeah.
And if you compare Monday night, where Jerry Lawler was, to Tuesday night, where Jerry Lawler was, it was a world of difference. It wasn't great, but it was a world of difference. And if you compared Tuesday night to tonight, it is an entirely different world from where he was. So basically what she said is, it's the story that we all know, how he passed out at ringside and he wasn't breathing. He had a heart attack. They tried to give him CPR. They weren't able to resuscitate him for 15 minutes. So for 15 minutes, Jerry Lawler wasn't breathing, wasn't getting oxygen to the brain. There was a lot of concern, even though they had stabilized his condition, that he was going to be a vegetable, that he was going to be brain dead, essentially, or at least that there'd be brain damage. And as I said on the show last night, and I have to hand it to Stacey Carter, because, not only has she been a great friend to me, but she did right by all the fans by coming on and, you know, actually vocalizing everything that she did know. And even things that she told me off the air that she wasn't going to share, she did. So I have to hand it to her. It's such a tough situation, man, but I said last night on In the Room that I'm a firm believer in, like, collective thought processes. Basically, if enough people have a good intention in their heart and are thinking about it, that can affect change. Now, some people call that prayer. Some people just call that like the secret, essentially. Like, you know, you can control things with your mind, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I firmly believe that not just people listening to In the Room last night, but wrestling fans around the world, because Jerry Lawler is one of those guys that transcends every company and every wrestler and every fan. You would be very hard-pressed to find anybody in the industry that doesn't like Jerry Lawler, and everybody was just worried sick last night, and this morning they did that test on his brain, and amazingly he passed in spite of the fact that he went 15 minutes without oxygen to the brain.
Now, Brady...
I can't explain that.
I don't think anyone can, quite frankly, but Dan has some breaking news, apparently a tweet of some type. Dan?
Oh, I see it cut out. Basically, JR tweeted that I'm told Jerry Lawler will do a live TV interview tonight on Channel 5 in Memphis, per his son Kevin, likely to be online later. So they're going to somehow I'm assuming he's going to be through note writing, because my understanding is he's writing notes. Unless he's speaking again, he's going to be doing an interview on the local news. So,
well, I do know for a fact, secondhand, so Stacy talked with his girlfriend, who was in the room with him through almost this entire ordeal in the hospital there. And, I mean, he can talk. Since they
just picked
up, he can talk. They're
great.
Recommending that he doesn't. And they're recommending that he rests up and, you know, all that standard stuff that they say when you're in a hospital and you've been through something so traumatic. Mm. So he has been doing the – he was doing the notepad thing when he had tubes in his mouth and wouldn't really be able to talk anyway, just to make sure that his cognitive brain functions were there.
Right, right, right.
But he can talk. Now, I don't know if he's able to talk enough to do an interview now. I mean, maybe he's past that stage. I know that they gradually were taking him off the medication, and he was basically free of that today, I understand. Which, another thing for him that's huge, because he is, and I say this with no question in my mind, he is the most straight-edge superstar in the world today. And that's not a shot at CM Punk. But Jerry Lawler, not only has he never had a drink of any sort.
Wow.
Nor has he ever taken any sort of steroids. He has never done any sort of recreational drugs. And he stays away from seeing the doctor generally, which is part of the reason why he's in this situation now. So he doesn't even take, like, painkillers when he's hurt.
Mm. Oh, my God. Well, wasn't he working all weekend?
He was, yeah. He was down in Aruba. I actually talked to Bill after as well, and he was telling me how he was down in Aruba doing a wrestling show. He did, I think it was like a King's Court segment, and it involved, like, Roddy Piper and Velvet Sky. So, I mean, he's been pretty active. He was booked for an indie show up in New York, the Wrestling Under the Stars with Hulk Hogan, in 2 weeks.
Really.
So, I'm assuming he's going to make that, but I don't know for sure. Certainly, probably not in the capacity that they had in mind originally.
Way he'll make that.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know, man.
It is the wrestling.
It's just a matter of signing autographs. I have no idea.
Well, but I'm sure I'll find out one day when I have my heart attack.
Go ahead.
My sense of what his work ethic is like, you know, given his schedule recently, I mean, I would think that we'll be hard. Anyone will. His closest friends will be hard pressed to keep him from making whatever dates he's already got scheduled.
Yeah,
you know, it's crazy. But
I mean, I don't know. I have no idea what the recuperation time or what that entails. I'm sure I'm not going out on a limb to say that he won't be wrestling anytime soon.
Almost
certainty. If ever again.
That's very true.
I don't see a point in taking the risk. Now, like I was saying, Jerry's one of those guys. He transcends the industry. You know, he has friends in every major company all around the world, and it's not like a Shawn Michaels or a Bret Hart, where you have some people that like them and some people that don't like them. Everybody likes Jerry Lawler. And I had the pleasure of meeting him down in Atlanta last year at the NWA Legends convention, and such an awesome guy. I just felt like I knew him forever, just talking to him like 3 or 4 minutes. And so I think it's kind of hit me personally as well, as crazy as that is. That makes me self-centered, I don't know, but I mean, it did hit me hard just because I did have the opportunity to meet him, and I know firsthand what an awesome guy he is.
Well, very well. So moving forward, it seems very hopeful that there's going to be a very good recovery to all this.
Except every day. If he's doing interviews, that's huge. And
yeah,
I'm going to be leaving the hospital soon.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be checking the site, and I will pass it along.
Very well.
And if anyone's on that Twitter machine, I'm not a huge Twitter guy, but I do a little bit. If you go to Stacy Carter Cat, she has been faithfully a updating and confirming every rumor, every piece of news relating to Jerry Lawler the entire time. And I can only assume that she's going to continue to do so. It's amazing to me the relationship that they've had, the up and down ride that they've had, that they can be as close as they are. But I think it's awesome. As she said last night, you know, he's been in her life for 24 years now, which is more than half of her life. And so, I mean, I think that's great. But I mean, if you're on Twitter, definitely follow Stacey Carter Cat, and she'll. Probably even better than those news sites, you know, because everything she's putting up there is confirmed.
That sounds like a good idea. Now, Sunday, there's, of course, a pay-per-view, Brady, Night of Champions. Now, main event, CM Punk, John Cena. Do you see the title being taken off of CM Punk here?
I really hope not. I mean, in the back of my head, I'm envisioning a rematch between The Rock and Cena at WrestleMania. Now, in order to get there in my own head, I think that CM Punk needs to hold the belt until at least the Royal Rumble, which would kind of match up with what he's saying about being the longest reigning champion in so long. But I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that CM Punk, by hook or by crook, wins this Sunday. And I hope to God I'm right.
How about you, Dan?
I don't think it's a good idea to take the title off him anyway. I agree, and I really do see him winning. I just don't want to see Rock Cena 2.
And Omega?
Yeah, I think you want to build towards that Rock CM Punk match, at least at Royal Rumble.
That would be incredible.
So, I mean, if it's me, I think you want to keep CM Punk strong and let him be that longest reigning champion up until the Royal Rumble.
Well,
okay.
Here's the thing. Here's something to consider here. There was talk about making Rock and Punk for the title at WrestleMania. If you're going to do that, then logically Cena would win this Sunday and then lose it to The Rock at the Rumble.
Fair enough.
Okay.
I can follow that logic.
Are you really think they're going to put the strap on him, on The Rock?
Why not?
I do, wholeheartedly, yeah.
Wow.
Especially that time of the year, because The Rock will be at almost every Raw. He won't have to defend at Elimination Chamber, and then it'll be WrestleMania.
Doesn't have a movie to do, huh?
Well, I'm not sure what his movie schedule is offhand, but he was there for almost every Raw last time.
That's true.
See how exciting that was.
There's always the via satellite thing, so.
Oh, joy.
Yeah.
I just want to point out, Lawler almost died, and they still can't break a 3.
Really?
No, it was like a 2-8.
I bet you they do next week, though.
Yeah, they do now.
Yeah.
Now, here's a question, and I don't want to make light at all of the Lawler thing. Who do you put in place?
I would go with Steve Regal.
Oh, yes, thank you very much.
Or William Regal, whatever his name is.
His real name's Steve, but that's fine. Brady?
I like that. I was also a big fan of no commentary. I thought that was great.
You know what, Brady, you'll like this. It reminded me of like an RF video release, you know,
yeah.
Without just the camera angles and everything. But
it reminded me of a video game, like when you're playing like WWE, or like maybe not the new ones, but like when you're playing like SmackDown versus Raw or whatever from back in the day, or like one of the old SmackDown games.
Yeah,
it's like. They would come down to the ring and there'd be nobody talking, and they'd get in the ring and nobody would talk, and they don't start talking until the bell rings. And it was kind of the same thing. It was funny.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Now, Omega, who would you like to see in the booth?
I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. I'd like to see Matt Stryker.
Oh, that's true. That's true. I forgot about him. I'm just a William Regal mark, whatever he does. Or a JBL. I would personally like to see JBL back, but I don't think that's in the cards.
Well, here's another thought. Here's another thought, and this actually makes the most sense to me. When Jim Ross was on SmackDown most recently in a full-time position with WWE, they gave him some tryout as color guy. So I wonder if they couldn't fit him in taking his best friend's place while Jerry's out.
I don't. That could happen. I mean, either Ross or Regal, they're still contracted and they still call matches. So
yeah.
Why not?
I would really like to see Ross and Regal.
Well, Cole's going to be there, and I think Cole deserves a lot of respect now.
No, I agree. That was incredible how he handled that situation.
Can I ask you guys a question?
No.
Sure.
Okay, on In the Room, Derek, I know you're both big fans of Derek now, having done that show with him.
Yes.
He made this point to me, and it's something I didn't even notice, but I kind of think he's right. Can Michael Cole ever go back to being a heel after Monday night's broadcast?
No, absolutely not.
Is there any way?
And he shouldn't.
No, absolutely not. I wouldn't buy it.
I didn't buy it before, so I mean.
Well, I mean, yeah. No, I know. Yes, I agree with you, but go ahead. I didn't mean to.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can see him going there. I mean, you know, this is WWE. I mean, we have to suspend disbelief for a while. I mean, I can still see him hugging on The Miz, for example. You know, in the future. I think it could happen. You know?
I could even see WWE making it a storyline where Cole makes fun of it in a few months. I mean, how long did they carn out the corpse of Eddie Guerrero, for God's sakes? I know Omega and I were very critical of that.
Yeah.
Because they used that for a story, what, up to a year and a half after his death?
Oh, yeah, it was a good 18 months.
Well, that's funny because he was dead. Lawler's not dead.
But I'm just saying they used it for storyline purposes, Dan.
Yes, thank you. I was watching.
But that's what I'm saying.
No, I know that. I agree it was a bad move.
And I could see him using this, playing it up, and, you know, the guy can't even do commentary.
I know it's not as serious. I have an update on the interview, by the way. I'll do that in a second. I know it's not as serious a situation, but it's like the Sid Vicious leg break. They did that for like 4 months.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't 4 months because they were gone after three. But the whole every episode, Scott Steiner talked about how he broke Sid's leg. It's like, dude, we didn't care. Second weekend, shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
The update on the interview is from King. From JR. Now I'm being told it will be King's girlfriend doing an interview by the phone.
Okay.
But bottom line, the King's on the mend.
Okay.
So I guess he's not, you know, don't talk yet. Just, you know.
He probably wants to.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he wants to. Like, no, too bad.
And his doctor probably put the snuff on that. But
that's the right thing to do, I think. I mean, it's too early. Nobody really needs to see him in whatever state he is in. I don't know, but I mean, I wouldn't think he can't be in that great of shape, you know, after even just being in the hospital for 3 days, you know.
Yeah, that's for sure. Now, the other match at Night of Champions I want to talk about is Sheamus against Alberto Del Rio. My pick is, of course, Sheamus.
Okay.
How about you, Brady?
I'm going to go with Triple H. I mean, Sheamus.
Oh, because they're friends. Dan.
Because he's always going to win. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Sheamus.
Omega.
Yeah, so. I think Sheamus as well. I mean, I think they're gonna try to keep pushing him.
Who learned nothing from the Monster Factory?
That would be Sheamus as well.
Yes,
that would be Sheamus as well.
Sheamus did what? He learned nothing from the Monster Factory.
That's all you need to know. Now,
I'll point that out in case we haven't before.
Brady, I'd like to keep you on a little bit longer as well, if you have time. We're going into the ECWA very briefly, the 45th anniversary show, kind of a preview and pick thing here. You have time?
Absolutely. I'm here for you, baby.
All right. I love it.
After we left you in the cold against Papa Don, he's like, yeah, sure, I support you guys. Yeah.
I'm forgiving.
I wonder what Brady thought when I was like, here we go, put him on. But anyway, I'm sure we're going to have a conversation on Saturday. Anyway, it's going to start out with Corey Blaze, a special tribute to his wondrous career. Brady, what do you think about putting Corey Blaze's career in perspective?
This is so surreal to me. I know Corey's about my age. I'm not sure exactly how old he is, but
42.
I started coming to the ECWA at Super 8 in 2007, That would be November of 2007. Corey, I believe, was a visitor to that show. And so we both started coming to the ECWA the same month, the same, you know, the same date. He started wrestling for the ECWA the very next month. He made his debut. And we've been together ever since. In terms of tenured people in the ECWA, and I'm talking staff as well as wrestlers and just people in general that help out around there, Mr. Ooh La La and Jim Shorts, and then Joe Zanoli. Actually, Joe Zanoli before Jim Shorts. So it's Mr. Ooh La La, Joe Zanoli, Jim Shorts, and then myself and Corey Blaze were the longest tenured people there. And now Corey's going away, and I'm going to miss him. Honestly, it's another one of the old guard that I'm not going to see at the shows anymore, and that's a shame.
Dan, I know you haven't really seen much of Corey, but any thoughts on Corey's retirement?
Did anybody think that it was a work?
What was a work?
What? This is a work.
No, he's retiring, dude.
He really is retiring?
Yeah, that's not a work.
Yeah, he's hurt.
Well, I mean,
he's beat up.
I kind of sucks. I think somebody who I've only seen wrestle twice, who you know, as young as he is, that has to leave a business that he obviously chose to do before he wanted to leave. Anytime somebody does that and doesn't leave on their own terms, sucks. Whether it's life threatening or not, it still sucks. I mean, my understanding is knee problems.
Knee, neck. I think it's
the whole thing.
Yeah,
I think it was like knee. Yeah. What's interesting about Corey Blaze is he's a full-time EMT, ambulance driver.
I was about to get into
Delaware.
That.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry. So, go ahead.
No, go, brother.
Okay. By state regulation, every wrestling show has to have an ambulance at the show in case there's an emergency.
Oh, yeah.
He would bring the ambulance. And after the show, he would work. He would all-night drive the ambulance. And I can't imagine getting beat up in the ring and then not going home to sleep, but then driving around other people who are hurt all night. I can't even fathom how tough that must be. So I can sort of understand if he needs a break from all this.
I'll tell you what, though. When you're sitting there all serene and calm and that pager goes off, the adrenaline gets you through it. I'm not taking anything away from him. I'm just saying if he was ever feeling tired during the night after working all those hours, and you know, you're not sitting there, but you're driving the ambulance around on your tour, not your tour, it's the wrong word, on your shift, and wait for something to happen. When it does happen, boom, you're there, man.
And you're speaking somewhat from experience because of your background, Dan.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure if you wanted to tell people what your background was, but
Dan Law is not a former volunteer firefighter.
So
were a wet nurse, weren't you?
Oh.
I was.
I'm only kidding.
I was
I'm
yours.
Only kidding.
I was yours after Papa Don beat you up. Yeah.
I was yours,
mine.
Bastard. In all seriousness, yes, I was a volunteer 7 years, and the only reason why I left is because I moved.
Yeah. So.
And I haven't joined up yet because I'm really trying to get 30 pounds, well, another 40, before I even think about joining again.
Fair enough. But you've done your time as well, so there you go.
I didn't wrestle a match and then go out to, you know, a fire.
I'm just saying you had experience in this.
Yeah, when you're sitting there, and again, I'm not saying you're sitting there, because the ambulance guys will drive around town. But when you're sitting there at the station, or if you're sleeping, or if you're just, you know, if you're driving your car somewhere, you're tired or not, that pager goes off. Trust me, if it's the 50th one of the year or the first one of the year, you wake up. You wake up quick.
I agree, but I have no experience in that.
I was going to say, how many fires have you been at?
Well, I've been to a few.
Oh.
There was a reason I left UNLV. Anyway, moving on to the matches now, we have the debut of Napalm Bomb, and he's taking on an indie veteran in Cujo. Now, Brady, just your pick.
I know nothing about Napalm Bomb, so that's a very tough one to pick without burying Cujo anyway, I guess.
Yeah, true. So
I'm going to say Napalm Bomb wins.
Very well. The debut, most likely to go over. Dan?
I'm going to say Cujo because I like Stephen King.
Omega, I know you haven't seen any of these guys, but what's your pick?
I'm just going to go with Napalm Bomb because, you know, why not? Napalm. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Very well.
The
true winners, as I wrote on the ECW group page on Facebook, is the concession stand. Now, moving on.
you jerk.
We have Keikoa coming back from his European tour. He's going to be taking on Danny E., another veteran, and, of course, a former Mid-Atlantic champion in ECWA. Now, I'm going with Keikoa here, starting fresh. Well, not necessarily fresh. I guess this is his fourth show that he's worked. But I'm going with Keikoa. Back on track, possible Mid-Atlantic champion by the end of the year. So Keikoa, Brady.
We had the opportunity. Oh, hold on. I got to plug my phone in. It's dying. We had the opportunity this weekend, Dean. I don't know if you talked about it on the show, but to see CZW and Evolve.
Yes.
We saw Keikoa versus Pepper Park.
Yes, with Cherry Bomb, yes.
Yeah, and I mean, I was impressed with Keikoa. I thought that it appears as if he's really been honing his skills since I've last seen him, and I think that he's going to come back refreshed. He doesn't forget the way he was made to submit at Super 8, and he hasn't had the best couple months with ECWA, but I think this is the beginning of a turnaround for the guy.
Okay, so Keikoa from Brady. Dan?
I'm going to go with cocaine, and I'm going to go with Up All Night. I'm going with Keikoa and heel turn.
Oh, that's interesting. He did call a woman a whore at the CZW show, which got...
She probably deserved it.
She did. Now, moving on, we got the debut of Tony Mamaluke, and he's taking on another veteran in Josh Daniels with Joel Blackheart will be there. Cummerbund and all.
So, it offends me.
It does offend me deeply, that cummerbund. Now, that cummerbund. Anyway, so Tony Mamaluke, Josh Daniels, I got to go with the debut, a win on... in his debut, Tony Mamaluke. Brady.
You know, lost on my show yesterday, I think, to a certain extent, and it's really a shame, with a great interview that I had with Tony Mamaluke after Stacy Carter. He told me a lot about what it takes to be an ECW wrestler, and I think that even though Josh Daniels, he said, is one of the stiffest guys that he'll ever be in the ring with, I think that he's... been preparing for that kind of a match his whole life, and he's been an ECWA fan his whole life, so I think that he's going to come in here with something to prove here.
So, Mamaluke for you as well?
Yes, I'm going with Tony Mamaluke.
Yeah, please answer the question.
Okay, Dan?
I'm going with Mamaluke.
Okay, very quick and easy. Now we have Aiden Chambers, an ECWA veteran, taking on beautiful Bobby Shields. I'm going to go with Beautiful Bobby. He picked up a very quick win over Cole Calloway the last show. So I think it continues for Beautiful Bobby. New haircut and all. Brady.
Aiden Chambers.
Dan.
I'm going with Baldy. Baldy.
Okay, going with Shields. Now, of course, we have the Toss the Boss. Fans participation match.
I pick me.
There will be 16 lumberjacks. You have a chance. Just make sure you fill out the waiver. You put your thing in. And my goodness, if you ever wanted to be involved, I'm not sure if this is the way, but if you ever wanted to be involved in a match, here's your chance. Be a lumberjack. I'm not going
to
talk about the match.
We don't have to predict the lumberjacks, do we?
That could take all night.
I just said it. Pick me.
Eric Hill. Tom Lyon.
What's 10 of them?
Take that, Andy Rounder.
Now, I picked Dave Brown for the win.
You made fun of me.
You made fun of me. I'm going to stab you.
Anyway, we're getting off the track here. Of course,
off the track at the beginning.
That is Cole Calloway and Mishir Ulala, our guest here tonight, taking on the formidable team of the Boss, Mike Tartaglia, and Ricky the Model Martinez. What? No, I
watch
that,
it.
That was a jumble. That was a jumble.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't like the That wasn't like the Kettner drop. But anyway. So,
it was a piece of shit. That's what I'm saying.
Hey, what are you doing now? Come on, watch the language. Watch the language, young man. Now, I'm going with Cole and Ooh La La, because Ooh La La, since the Super 8, has been on this incredible win streak. Brady.
I'm going to go with the good guys.
All right, the good guys. And Dan?
I'll go with the good guys if I'm a lumberjack, because I'll be able to keep the boss in the ring. And if I'm not a lumberjack, I don't think they can have any help with the people that they choose.
Very well. Now, of course, we have Fusion DS. We are believers here at Hell in a Cell.
Believe in Harvey Dent.
Yes. They are taking on a team we've never seen before. Apparently, they get a title shot. I don't know. Whatever. Fusion DS. The Sons of Blackheart. I'm going with Fusion DS because I've never seen the Sons of Blackheart. Although I think I've seen
the same.
Well, I've seen one of them, I think. I don't know. But Brady.
I've seen both of them.
Considering how little we know about the Sons of Blackheart, other than the fact that their fathers were the last TWA Tag Team Champions, I don't know if that qualifies you to be good enough to beat Fusion DS. Fusion DS has been on a roll, so I'm going with them.
I agree. Ever since they got rid of the Midnight Sensations, Fusion DS has been on quite a roll indeed. However, you never know.
I'm going with Breaker.
You never know.
I knew you were going to say that. I just hope he remembers to change the camo. That's all
I was going to say. Please don't wear the camo shorts.
Oh, boy.
We're so getting thrown out of there.
Yeah, Joe's not even going to give me the hug I've been receiving the past couple of months. Now, I think he's going to be busy on October 3rd now. Now, the main event is, of course, we talked about it plenty of times. It's gotten people in hot water, made of ruined friendships. We have the Greek. We have the Greek god Papadon, the reigning ECWA champion, taking on the TWA champion, Chris Wilde. This is, of course, a unification match. I am going with Papadon because, frankly, he has been steamrolling everyone. He's beaten Adam Cole. He's beaten Tony Nese. He's beaten. He won the Super 8. Beat a guy in the finals by the name of Bandito. Who? Bandito.
Who? Ole!
Exactly. So he's beaten everybody. I don't see it stopping at the 45th anniversary, although I do think Chris is a great guy. Brady.
Is Papadon listening right now? He can't listen, right?
Let me tell you something.
Right now, no.
From experience, he will find out.
Well, I think I'm already in trouble. So you know what? I think, let me just say this. If anybody that's on the ECWA roster right now has a shot to beat Papadon in a one-on-one straight-up match, I think it's Chris Wilde. He's had so much momentum against Breaker Morant. I feel like this could be his time. I'm not going 100% Chris Wilde, but I think if I got to make a pick, that's what I'm going to say, just for something different.
Okay, so he's going with Chris Heartkiller, Chris Wilde. Dan?
I'm going with my idol, Greek god Papadon.
Okay, so there you go. There's the picks. There's the show. Wow. So, Brady, first...
Before you, and I just want to say, I've said this a lot of times, I'm going to say it again. If you're within earshot of my voice speaking right now, and you've perhaps fallen out of favor, I mean in the podcast. I know we're not live, Dean.
I know.
If you're within the sound of my voice and you have, like I said, if TV wrestling is not your thing, It's $15. It's at less than an hour from Philadelphia. Get to this show, the New Work Boy and Girls Club in Delaware. $15, and you might be able to get involved with a match. I couldn't sell you anything more if I was giving it for free.
I agree, Dan. But, Brady, thanks for hanging out. I enjoy it every time that we talk, so you have a great night. And
I do, too. What, I'm sorry. I know you're running really late. Could I just do two real quick plugs, please?
Real quick, yes.
Real quick, okay. First of all, if you haven't listened to In the Room, please check out the Stacey Carter, Tony Mameluke, Jerry Strauss interviews. It could just be the most successful, most ratings-grabbing In the Room that we've ever had. I'm waiting for the ratings to come out actually shortly. That's why I'm waiting up right now. But I'm really hoping that this could be the most successful show that we've ever had. I certainly think it was one of the best. The other thing is if you're a visitor to thebradyhicks.com, remember that the Philadelphia area this weekend will be the In the Room Fan Conclave, September 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th. It's a great chance to come check out some wrestling shows. Easton, Pennsylvania for King of Trios, Chikara, Friday night. ECWA down in Newark, Delaware on Saturday. Fox and the Hound in King of Prussia, Pennsylvania for the WWE United Champions pay-per-view. Monday night, live in the room with everybody who participated in the conclave. And Tuesday, WWE SmackDown. You can still get tickets for any of these shows. Information, everything you need is at thebradyhicks.com. So thank you so much, Dean. I just wanted to get that out there one last time. But I appreciate everything you guys have done for me. And it's been a good relationship, I think.
I think so, too.
I'm not going to leave a note on the nightstand and just slip away. Let's just say that.
Very well. I've had that happen before.
Now I'm just going for coffee. I'll be back.
Okay, Brady. Thanks for hanging out. And you have a good night.
Take care, guys.
Okay, so that was the illustrious, the one and only Brady Hicks. Dan, I know you. I want to go. You want to go. Omega has to go. But very quickly, again, check out ECWAProWrestling.com. Check out NMRWrestling.com. Also check out CZW, I'm not sure of the thing, but check out CombatZoneWrestling.com. Just type in Combat Zone.
It's CZWrestling.com. We got it.
Yeah, I thought that's what it was, but I wasn't sure. So it's CZ Wrestling. There you go. Check them out. Check them all out. They're great guys. You can follow Mishir Olala at Mr. Olala, and that's M-R Olala. And you can follow Papadon at Greek God Papadon. You can follow Brady Hicks at Brady Hicks. Listen to the show at thebradyhicks.com. Listen to us. You can follow us on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at HIACTalkRadio.com. You can follow Omega Squad at Omega Squad. You can follow me at Folsom County. Dan, where can they follow you?
Dan all 83.
And this has been quite the show. I really love it. We went way past our time. The outline was working so well until we were trying to have Brady and Papadon hug it out. It didn't happen.
You got greedy. I don't know how you thought that was going to work out, bro.
It didn't work out too well, especially over the air. Maybe this Saturday they can work things out.
We can work it out.
I'm not sure, but... Dan, have anything else? Any more breaking updates from anybody?
Nah, so far so good.
Okay. Omega, do you have anything? Any plugs or anything?
No plugs, but I think I'm going to change my name in tribute to Papadon. I'm going to be the French-Canadian God Omega Squad.
There you go. The French-Canadian God Omega Squad. And it has a ring to it. I like it.
Yeah, it rhymes. See? There you go.
I like it. So this has been...
It might get killed for it, but that's okay.
I don't know. I think from now on, anytime Papadon's on, I'm going to have you on. because he still found a way to, get at you, even though you didn't say one word to him. So
you I never... didn't get a chance to say anything to him, and he was bragging on me. So I was like, okay, cool. That's all right. I see how it is.
Yeah, but my goodness. Great show. Make sure you go out this Saturday to the Greater Newark Boys and Girls Club to see some ECWA action.
I'd hate to see the okay Boy and Girls Club.
The okay. Oh.
Greater okay. Come on, dude.
But that is the
crap on Velcro.
That is this Saturday, $15, $10 for kids. It's going to be a great show, headlined by the most important match in Chris Wilde's career. So make sure you go to that. And until next week, Dan,
good night.